Welcome to the teaching ministry of Stephen Fraser and Life of Faith Bible Church, an outreach dedicated to helping you triumph in every area of life. Now here's Pastor Fraser with today's message.
Praise God and thank God for the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. He is our teacher. He is the one that leads us. He is our leader, the one who leads us and guides us in all truth. He's the one that leads us and guides us in life. And you know, if the Holy Spirit's leading you, you're going to end up in the right place. And that's what he's looking to do. He's looking to lead us. We just got to learn to be good followers. Followers of him. Followers of God. And if we'll follow him, he will always lead us in triumph. That is what he promised. That is what he said. He always leads us in triumph. Everybody say always. Always. Yeah, so this isn't like a once in a while thing. You know, you get some victory once in a while. Sometimes he'll lead you into chaos and confusion. Sometimes he'll lead you into sickness and disease. And he'll lead you into all kinds of trials and tests and, you know, just to put you through it, you know. You know, because, you know, that's just the kind of God he is. You know, sometimes he'll bless you and sometimes he'll curse you. You know, you just never know. No, thank God we know exactly what he's going to do all the time. He's always going to lead us in triumph. He's always going to lead us into the victory all the time. Now, there are trials and there are tests because there's somebody that doesn't want you blessed. There's someone that doesn't want you to prosper. There's someone that doesn't want you to increase in the things of God. He certainly does not want you yielding to the Holy Spirit and manifesting God's presence and power through your life. And of course, you know who I'm talking about, and that is our enemy, the devil. And so, you know, he's behind the trials and tests. He's behind the problems in life. He's the troublemaker. He's the one that came in the very beginning and stirred up problems in the Garden of Eden. I mean, Adam and Eve were in paradise. And then walked in the devil. And unfortunately, man yielded to him. And then chaos came into the world. But, thank God Jesus came. So that we can stop yielding to the devil. And start following, instead of following the first Adam, following his footsteps, and following after the devil, thank God, we can now follow in the footsteps of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And he will lead us into victory. He will cause us always to triumph. So it doesn't matter what kind of test you go through. It doesn't matter what kind of trial the devil's trying to stir up. What kind of things he's trying to cause to happen in your life. Evil things cause to happen in your life. You know, if I just follow God, if I just stay with him, he will lead me through this valley of the shadow of death. And he'll bring me into the victory. Every time, every time, every time. Can you say amen? Praise God for it. That's a good deal. All we got to do is learn to yield. Learn to yield to him. Because that really is the source of man's problems in life. It's him not yielding to God. It's him not following God. He's following human reasoning, which many times is inspired by the enemy. So we don't want to follow human reasoning. We want to follow God. And the way we learn how to follow God is through the Word of God. God's Word teaches us what God does and what God doesn't do. People have all kinds of funny ideas about what God's doing. You know, people look at somebody that's been in a car wreck and say, well, now you see, you know, God works in mysterious ways. And God will do these things to try to teach us something. Teach us what? Pain? Teach us agony? Teach us to die prematurely? Die at a young age? You know, people just think God's behind everything. He's just responsible for everything. Because after all, God is in control. Well, God is not fully in control of everybody's life if everybody is not fully yielding to him. If you want God to be fully in control, you got to fully yield to him. He's not in full control if we yield him to the devil. And we're following him. And not everything that happens is his will. The Bible says he's not willing that any should perish. He's not willing that how many should not perish? Any. Nobody should perish. But all should come to repentance. Do people perish? All the time. All the time. God's will is not being done. He just told you in his word. He's not willing that any perish. You can't say, well, God needed another flower in his garden in heaven. And that's why he picked Johnny. No, that's not, you know, and you hear these kind of things at funerals, people trying to comfort one another with human reasoning. Rather than going back to the word of God, saying, no, God's not responsible for this. This wasn't God's best. Thank God if Johnny knew Jesus, he made heaven. And that's the greatest thing of all. Knowing that we are going to heaven because that is forever. So even though somebody might have had their life cut short down here, had a miserable time down here, thank God if they got born again, if they had given their life to the Lord Jesus and gotten saved, then they're in eternity now, in heaven with God. That's an awesome thing. But that doesn't mean they experience God's perfect will on the earth. I want God's perfect will for my life. I want his perfect will. I want to follow him. And I want to get the victory in life. I don't want to be defeated. God doesn't want you defeated. God doesn't want you a failure. God wants to make you a winner. In everything, at every turn in life, he wants you to win. Now, you got to know that. I know that because the Bible tells me so. The Bible tells me so. See, a lot of folks, they have all kinds of funny ideas, and they're accusing God of things the devil's doing. And we got to understand, no, Jesus very clearly said in John 10, he said, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. That's the thief. How many people know God's not in partnership with the thief? You know, some people treat God like he's the Godfather. You know? And he goes over to Satan. He says, hey, Satan, I need you to do some work for me. You see Charlie over here? He's got some issues. He needs to learn some things. Capiche? You know what to do. But watch how hard you are on him. And a lot of folks think, you know, that God's just sending the devil. You know, people say, well, God didn't do it, but he allowed it. You know, like he could have done something about it, but he sent the devil to take care of it. And people know he'd be just as guilty of it. He'd be just as guilty of it if that was the case. That is not the case. He said the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. I've come to destroy his works. I've come that they might have life and they might have it more abundantly. That's my will. That's my desire for their life. I want my people to be victorious in life. I want my people to rule and reign in life. You know, you look in the Word of God at a man by the name of King David. And King David, he was a warrior and he was a king. And I just love, you know, reading the life of King David. It never gets old to me, never gets boring to me, reading about King David and just seeing how he and God just worked together. He was so confident in God in his life, and he would go and he would seek the Lord before he did anything. Before he'd go into a battle, he wouldn't presume that, well, you know, God sent me in to do it last time, so it must be his will for me to do it this time. No, he'd stop, and he would go, and he'd inquire of the Lord and say, should I go do this? Will you give me the victory in this? And you know what? God answered him. God would answer him. He would get understanding from God as to what he would do. However God would speak to him, there's different ways God can reveal his will to us. But he would speak to David, reveal his will to him, and David would go forth. And how do you know when David went into battle, he won every time. Now he had to fight. He had to fight, and I'm sure there were some scary looking battles. I'm sure there were some scary-looking dudes that he had to stand against. But yet David went in there fearless, knowing that he's being led by God. I have inquired of the Lord. He told me to do this thing. Here we go. And he would charge into the battle, and no weapon formed against him would prosper. Think about it. I mean, swords swinging, spears being hurled, arrows being shot, rocks being slung. I mean, all this stuff going. And he's the king. I mean, he is number one target. And yet he's just rushing right into the battle and just winning, 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 getting the victory every single time he went to war. And as we read that, we need to understand that's exactly who you and I are to be like. We are to be just like King David was with the Lord. We are warrior kings. We are warriors and we are kings. Not naturally like David was. He was the king of a natural country, Israel. He was a physical, skillful warrior. But you and I are spiritual warriors, spiritual kings. God is grooming us right now. He is preparing us to be kingdom rulers throughout all eternity. His primary reason for making man was so they would have someone to rule the earth. He was looking to have people that would rule on the earth. That's why he said, you see over in Genesis, he said, let us make man in our image and in our likeness, and let them have dominion over the earth. Dominion means absolute rule and authority. Let him have absolute rule and authority. That was God's plan for man from the very beginning. Not to be a slave of sin, not to be a slave to the devil, not to be a victim in life, not even just to be normal. You are not to be normal. That is abnormal for you to be normal. You are not to be a mere man. You are to be a warrior king in the kingdom of God. Warrior kings in the kingdom of God. And the spirit realm is just as real than the natural realm. In fact, a lot that goes on in the natural realm is the result of what is taking place in the spirit realm. Bible says we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness, spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. We're not just dealing with flesh and blood. What we see taking place among people in the natural is the result many times of demonic or angelic influence in the earth. And so if we are taking our place and fighting as warrior kings, ruling in life spiritually, it's going to change everything in the physical around us. It's going to change everything in the natural. I mean, so many times Jesus, when he came across sick people, he cast out demons. And when he cast out the demons, when he took care of the spiritual problem, their physical bodies were healed. Right? I mean, that's just one example. He would deal with a spirit. He would deal with something spiritual. See, because he had authority to rule. And Jesus knew it. Jesus and the demons knew it. Man, they knew it, and they trembled when Jesus came on the scene. I mean, they would see him from afar. I mean, there are some, you know, things recorded in the Word of God, some stories recorded in the Word of God where it was a demon-possessed guy, and he saw Jesus from afar, and he freaked out because he saw him coming towards him. And the demon started crying out, "What have we to do with you? Jesus, have you come to torment us before the time?" See, now you and I come in the name of Jesus. He has given his authority to you and I. He wants us now to go forth and be just as terrifying as he was to the devil. In fact, I love this scripture over in Philippians. Philippians chapter 1, verse 27. It says, Only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so whether I come and see you or I'm absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel, and not in any way terrified by your adversaries, which is to them proof of perdition or eternal damnation, destruction, but to you of salvation, and that from God. Notice what he tells us there. Verse 28 again. And not in any way terrified by your adversaries. In other words, by Satan, by demons, by devils, because they are adversaries. And he says, by not being terrified by the devil and his lying symptoms and worries, when he comes with the cares of life, when he comes with fear, when he comes with all these things, when you stand in faith, in total confidence in Christ in you, just like David stood in total confidence against the Philistines and all these other nations that were coming against him, these armies that would attack him, he was not terrified. He went charging into the battle. Think about Goliath. Here he was a teenager. And he goes and faces this giant. Everybody's afraid of Goliath. Not David. He recognized, I got a covenant with God. And so he just goes right out there and he defies this Philistine warrior who is a type of a demon. Just like you and I, there are all kinds of demons that try to intimidate us, that try to cause us to cower down, back up, get pushed back, and not advance, not move forward. We don't want to rock the boat. We don't want to disturb anything. We don't want to be the center of attention. And all this intimidation, all this fear comes against us. We don't want to get ourselves in trouble. You know, we got, and people, you know, I'm afraid how people are going to react towards me. Don't want to get too much persecution, you know. And so people get quiet. They don't express their heart. They back down because they're intimidated by demons. And they're not, therefore, able to follow God and live out their potential as warrior kings in this world. And just like David was, that's how you and I need to be in the spirit. No matter what kind of temptation, no matter what kind of circumstances are coming against us, we need to look at it and laugh. Say, ha, 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 ha. Make my day. I mean, just last night, I was driving home, and I mean, out of nowhere, this sharp pain hits me in the head. It was a sharp, what you call a headache, you know, just a sharp headache hit me in the head like that. I knew immediately that is the devil. He is afraid of this conference. I mean, I know it's the devil. I mean, I know it is. I don't get headaches. And that didn't just come out of nowhere. That was an attack. And so the Bible says, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you as in terror. Is what it says in the Amplified Bible. He'll flee. So, I mean, I know me. I went, get out of here. I smacked myself in the head, you know. I said, get out of here in Jesus' name. I mean, I was mad about it. I didn't sit there and go, oh, man. Oh, I hope it don't get worse. Oh, man, that's a bad one. Oh, man, no. No, see, that's giving into it. That's not rising up and resisting and fighting. Are you hearing me? You got to resist the devil for him to flee. But if you do, he will flee. I said he will because the Bible says he will. The devil's a coward. We don't have to be afraid of him. He puts together all these horror movies, you know. Gets people inspired to, you know, trying to make him out to be the big bad devil. But I got news for you, friend. He is under our feet. Yeah. Jesus defeated him. Jesus disarmed him. Jesus has placed him under our feet, and he has given us his authority, his Holy Spirit, his name to rule and reign in life, to be rulers and not ruled by the circumstances of life. Not kicked around by circumstances, but be able to look in the darkness and just continue to march forward and knowing that God's will be done. If I follow him, this will change. This will turn around. These circumstances cannot remain the same. I smacked it. It left. It lasted like, I don't know, 2 minutes maybe. You know, it was just faded away. But you got to learn to resist the devil. Recognize he is the enemy and begin to see yourself just like King David. It's not just a story to read and say, man, that David's something else. That is really cool. Wow. And then just go back to eating nachos. No. You're to be being transformed into the same image. What's on the inside of you is to be being pulled out of you as you're looking at that. As you're looking into the Word of God, what's on the inside of you is to be being pulled out of you. That's what it says over in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians, the fourth chapter. Say, I'm a king. I'm a warrior king. We got to get that. Man, I'm just an old sinner saved by grace. I can't find that anywhere in the Bible. I'm just an old sinner. No, it says you're a new creation. How many people know a new creation is the total opposite of an old sinner? You know, if you walk around confessing you're an old sinner, then what do we know you're doing? What do we know you're doing? You're sinning. That's what you're doing because you're telling everybody, I am an old sinner. I'm a sinner. I sin. Not good. Not good. God don't approve of that. No. You're a new creation. Old things have passed away. And all things have become new. Glory be to God. The old sinner passed away, friend. He was buried with Christ. And now a new man has risen from the dead. A new man has been born of God, born again. And now it's that new man that is to be living life in this world. Not an old sinner. And so as we look at in the Word of God, we're looking at David, and we're looking at that relationship. And as we're seeing him fearlessly, not terrified by his enemies, going forth. And I love that. Not being terrified scares the devil. The devil wants you terrified, and that helps him feel better about himself. But if he gives his best shot, comes with his most spookiest stuff, and you just look and go, just smile. Just speak the word back at it. That freaks him out. He's not used to that. That's not the kind of reaction he gets from a lot of people. A lot of people go, ah! Oh God. That's how a lot of people are. They're terrified. But if you're not in any way terrified by your adversaries, it is proof to them of their destruction. It is proof to them that Jesus is alive and that you are more than a conqueror and that the devil is defeated and that he is going in to perdition. He is headed towards a lake of fire. So every time you stand tall in who you are in Christ, it's proof to the devil. It reminds him of where he is going. Man, that's exciting right there. I like that. I did a series called Messing with Satan. I encourage you to get it. Get the series in the bookstore. It really turns things around. Because, you know, a lot of folks, you know, they have this mentality that the devil's just eating our lunch. The devil's just, well, stop feeding them. Take your lunch back from it. Amen. Why are you letting the devil eat your lunch? The devil's just eating our lunch. We should be like this. We walk in the room and the devil goes, ah! Those Christians are just eating our lunch. That's what the demon should be saying. We should walk knowing that we rule on earth. We are the rulers. And I'm telling you, our ruling spiritually is way greater than the ruling David did in the natural. Now, he also, you see him ruling in the spirit. But you see, he didn't have authority over demons because Jesus hadn't come yet and given mankind that authority. What we have under the new covenant is so much greater than what they had under the old covenant. So much greater. We go right to the root of all problems. We go right to the spirit. We deal with things in the spirit. We deal with spiritual problems. And that takes care of the natural things. That's how you and I fight the battles of life. Look what the Bible says here in Proverbs chapter 20, verse 18. It says, plans are established by counsel. By wise counsel, wage war. This is God talking to us. This is the word of God. Proverbs. Wage war. What do you mean wage war? You're a warrior. You need to be going to pick some fights. See, a lot of folks are hiding. You know, it's like, will you stop talking about the devil? He might hear us. A lot of folks like the Israelites, you know, with Goliath. They're hiding in the caves and the rocks. Whenever Goliath comes out and goes, and they all go running and hiding in the rocks, you know. They're afraid of the devil. They're not on the offense. So many folks are on the defense. Friend, you and I need to wage war against the enemy. There is a war that is to be waged. Proverbs chapter 24, verse 6. It says, for by wise counsel, you will wage your own war. Your own war. And in a multitude of counselors, there is safety. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 18 says, this charge I commit to you, son Timothy, according to the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by them you may wage the good warfare. See, there is a war that should be being waged. We need to rise up and be the aggressors spiritually. Come on, say, I'm a warrior. You are a warrior. That's who you are. Get that mentality. You're not sitting here fearful of the next thing that's going to come against you. You are going forth into the battle. You are picking fights. You are taking territory. You're not being pushed back anymore. You are advancing. And no matter what kind of intimidations the devil throws up, you will not back down. You are taking territory. You have been called to increase. You've been called to expand. You are not called to just sit back and just exist in life. Just make it in life. You're not to just make it in life. You are made for bigness. Turn to somebody and say, you're made for bigness. Are you getting this? Am I preaching the word to you? Is this the Bible? We are looking in the mirror tonight of God's word. God's talking to you. He wants you to understand that you're not just a mere human being. You are, yes, a child of God. Yes, you are servants of God. But you are also rulers with God. You are kings and priests unto your God. You are created to rule and reign. Adam lost that in the beginning. Jesus came and restored it to us. Man, you got to get an attitude about yourself. Got to have an attitude about yourself. You know, we need to ask God for boldness. Give me boldness, Lord. Help me to see who I am according to the word of God. Just like that song we were singing before. Knowing who we are according to the word of God. If we don't know who we are according to the word of God, then we're just going to be whatever we think we're supposed to be, what we've been told that we are, and that's how we're going to act. That's how we're going to live, and we're going to fall way short of what God has created us for. God doesn't want you falling short. I said he doesn't want you falling short. He wants you to rise up and walk in the victory. Amen. Praise God for it. Can you do it? Well, the Bible says we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Somebody say, I can do all things. Amen. It's not just a pretty quote. It's reality. We can do all things. And here, scripture after scripture, he's telling us, wage a good warfare. War, war, war. You are warriors. You are soldiers. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Thank God we can stand against the devil. We don't have to lie down and let him walk over us. We can stand against him. He is not a big deal to the Lord Jesus Christ who lives on the inside of us. Hallelujah. See, we're not confident in ourselves, but we're confident in the greater one. Hallelujah. See, that's how David was. He was confident in God who was with him when he went out to battle. God is with me. Say it. God is with me. I am a warrior. I am a king. I am more than a conqueror. More than a conqueror. More than a conqueror. I mean, you're a plunderer. I mean, it's just time to take back everything that the devil has stolen. Stop sitting around praying prayers like, oh, God, do something. And start recognizing God's in you. See, the Apostle Paul got this revelation over in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. I'm going to go do it. He had this thing that he referred to as a thorn in the flesh. Paul's famous thorn in the flesh. People preach all about this thorn in the flesh. Say all kinds of crazy things. But notice what it says here, verse 7. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 7. Unless I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. Now, a lot of folks look and say, we see now, God sent a thorn in the flesh to Paul to keep him humble. Because he said right here, he said, lest I be exalted. Lest I be exalted. See, that's pride, right? Isn't that pride when you get exalted? No, it's not. The Bible says in the book of James, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God that he might exalt you in due time. It's God's will for you to be exalted. Now, self-exaltation is pride. Exalting yourself is pride. He didn't say, lest I be exalted by myself. He said, lest I be exalted by the abundance of revelation. It was revelation of God's word that was exalting him. God's word was bringing him up. God's word was taking him beyond where any other person had gone before. God was taking the Apostle Paul through revelation of the word of God further than anyone else had gone. Lest I be exalted above measure, above what is the norm. Above what is normal for everybody else, a thorn in the flesh was sent to me. A messenger of Satan. This is something that came from Satan. This did not come from God to humble the man. Stick him. He's getting too powerful. The word, he's getting too many revelations. Well, God's the one giving it to him. Now God's like getting mad. God's giving him revelation. It's lifting up, blessing his life. He's getting exalted. He's getting powerful by the abundance of revelation. Cut him down. Cut him down to size. I don't want him up here. Friend, I got news for you. The Bible says in Ephesians that God, in Christ Jesus, has raised us up together with him. God has raised us up with Christ Jesus and made us sit together with him. In the heavenly places. Where is he sitting? What is he sitting on? A sofa? What is he sitting on? He is sitting on a throne. And the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2, Let's look at it. Ephesians 2:5. Even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ, by grace you've been saved, and raised us up together, and made us, this is something he has already done, past tense, has made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Man, we're sitting on the same throne. In fact, let me read this from the Amplified Classic. Amplified Classic says it this way. And he raised us up together with him, with Jesus, and made us sit down together, giving us joint seating with him in the heavenly sphere by virtue of our being in Christ Jesus, the Messiah, the Anointed One. Did you hear that? He made us sit down together, giving us joint seating with him, with the King. Joint seating with the King. Joint seating with the King. And this goes along with Romans chapter 8, verse 16, where it says, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs of God, joint heirs, joint seating. Joint seating. We're seating. He's seated on a throne. We're seated with him. Joint seating. Joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. What's this suffering? Well, it's being sick. It's being defeated. It's having car wrecks. No, that's not the suffering he's talking about. What suffering is he talking about? He's talking about the suffering of persecution. He's talking about suffering just like Paul, dealing with trials, tests, adversity. I mean, we're in an earth that's cursed. Thank God we're blessed, but the earth is still under a curse. And so there's all kinds of accursed things that'll try to mess with us. But thank God you and I can go right on through the curses knowing we're blessed. But there's some persevering. There's some suffering through some things. To get through some stuff, there's some, you know, not feeling very good in the flesh, things that can go on. But if we'll persevere, we will get the victory. Just like, you know, again, going back to David, he goes out to battle. I mean, that's not an enjoyable thing. I mean, it's hard work. You're out there on a battlefield. I mean, you know, it'd be much better hanging out back at the palace, eating grapes. I'd love to be back at the palace just eating grapes, you know. But no, instead he's out there and cold or it's hot, the conditions aren't that great. He's out there, he's living in a tent, there's no shower, they're out there in a battle, they're fighting. I mean, it's not a pleasant experience. There's suffering involved in it. But he walked away with the victory every time. Just like you, just like me. We might suffer, but we prevail. We overcome and we win. Can you say amen? Amen? And we are joint heirs with him. Joint heirs with him. In other words, everything that he is his is ours. It's like having a joint bank account. My wife and I have a joint bank account. You know, she can write checks, I can write checks, and withdraw out of the same account. Same thing with you and I. We can withdraw out of the same account. Amen. But here's Paul the Apostle. He's got this thorn in the flesh. We know it's the devil. It's not God. Verse 8 says, concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times that it might depart from me. Lord, take it away, take it away, take it away. And he said to me, no, I'm not going to do it. And people know that's not how God talks. All his promises are yes and amen. Glory be to God. Thank God he says yes. If it's good, God wants you to have it. A lot of people preach it that way. Like God said no. No, he said my grace is sufficient. And then he explains what that is. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. This is the grace of God. It is the strength of God. It is the power of Christ coming upon a person. That's the grace of God. It's not the ability to suffer and bear it and go down into the grave smiling. No, you've got strength, you've got power, you've got authority to overcome it. Basically, God answers Paul the same way he answered Moses when Moses was standing in the front of the Red Sea. And he starts crying out to God and says, Lord, you know, the Pharaoh's almost here. His army's coming and there's a Red Sea. Lord, help us. And the Lord said, what are you crying out to me for? Tell the children of Israel to go forward. Don't you love that? What are you crying out to me for? Think about that. God rebuking him for praying. You getting that? Rebuking him. God saying, what are you crying out to me for? Well, I'm praying. Isn't that what I'm supposed to do? Now, stretch out your rod, which is a type of the grace of God. Because it was through that rod God was bringing deliverance to the children of Israel. Stretch out that rod and split the sea and go on through. I said, what are you crying out to me for? Go forward. Go ahead. I've given you the grace. I've given you the ability. Go forward. So I tell folks who are crying out to God, God, do something. If you don't do something, we're all going to go under. And God's saying, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is sufficient for you. I've given you my power. My spirit is upon you. I have anointed you with strength and power to be able to deal with this thing, to be able to command that thorn in the flesh be removed and be cast into the sea. Isn't that what Jesus said? He said, if you had faith in God, you would say to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea. And if you didn't doubt, but believe those things you say will come to pass, you'll have whatever you say. Praise God. Hallelujah. You can command the devil to go. You can deal with the thorns in the flesh, friend. You don't have to sit there and say, Lord, take it away. No, a lot of those things Jesus already took away for us. He took them on the cross for us. Matthew 8:17 says he took our infirmities. He bore our sicknesses. He took our sins. Not just our sins. He took our sinfulness. He took away the very desire to sin. He took all that in his own body for you and I. Now you need to take hold of what he has taken for you. And rise up and resist the devil. Resist the source of the problem. And go forward into battle and win. Get the victory. Get the victory. Can you say amen? Praise God. Are you going to go from this place and wage war? That's God's will. Go wage war. Go rise up. Fight the good fight of faith. We're not just here to be religious and just put everything off on God. No, God has put himself in us. He has invested his spirit into you and I. And we need to believe in who he is in us. We are more than conquerors. We are warriors. We are kings. I love Psalm chapter 8. You want a little bit more? Yeah. Psalm 8, verse 3. When I consider your heavens and the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained, what is man that you are mindful of him? And the son of man that you visit him? For you have made him a little lower than the angels. And that word angels there is the Hebrew word Elohim. Elohim, which is the name for God. You've made him a little lower than Elohim. And you have crowned him with glory and honor. You have made him to have dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet. Now, I had a situation going on for about a week where I'd lie down at night to go to sleep, and I'd wake up suddenly to just fear, just a fearful presence in the room. You know, I felt like I can't just lie here in bed. I got to get up and pray. So I'd get up and go to pray, but there was no utterance to pray. It was the hardest thing to pray. I was trying to pray, and you just had no words, you know. Like, God, help me. You know, help us out here. And I'd fall off to sleep, wake back up again to that evil presence. And that kept happening for a series of nights, probably about 4 or 5 nights. And I was just getting worn out, you know. I wasn't getting a good night's sleep because this evil presence kept coming in the room. Fear kept trying to come in the room. And so finally, I sat there, I was sitting on the coffee table. there, and I said, God, we're under an attack. I mean, I can feel it. The whole church is under an attack. You know, I can just feel it. And I was like, Lord, you got to help me to pray. And I mean, we're under an attack here. How many people have ever felt like you're under an attack of the devil, you know? And I said those words, and right after I uttered those words, we're under an attack here, this thought came to me from heaven. And he said, under my feet, under my feet. And I stopped, and I got up, and I said, wait a second. I said, it feels like I'm under an attack. See, I just got a revelation. And that revelation was raising me up above this thorn in the flesh that was messing with me. And I said, wait a second. I said, it feels like I'm under an attack. And I've heard it taught that we can be under an attack. You know, I've heard things like, you know, a new level. Every time you go to a new level, there's a new devil. Okay, you know, that don't make you too excited by going to the next level with God. You got to deal with the next level of demon. So I said, now it feels like I'm under an attack, and I've heard it taught that we could be under an attack, but the Bible says the devil is under our feet. The devil, that's what the Bible says. The devil is under our feet. And I said, if the devil is under my feet, then I can't be under his attack. And then I said, devil, you're under my feet. I'm going to bed. And I slept like a baby. He couldn't do anything at that point. He couldn't bring fear. He wouldn't have been able to inspire me out of sleep. Because I knew he can't do a thing to me. He's under my feet. Praise God, I'm not under his attack. Hallelujah. See, the devil, you know, church is walking around saying, well, we're under an attack. The devil's just attacking. The devil's been defeated, friend. Jesus defeated him. Jesus disarmed him, and he's under your feet if you're in Christ Jesus, because everything's under Jesus' feet, and you're seated together with him in the heavenly places. Glory be to God. The devil's under your feet. You're not under an attack. You're not under anything. You're seated far above all the attacks, all the deceptions, all the temptations of the devil. Understand where God has placed you. Let God reveal these things to you. Let them become more real to you. Talk them. Think on them. Stir yourself up. You need to declare, I'm more than a conqueror. I'm a king. I'm a priest. I'm a ruler. It's not pride. You're not exalting yourself. You're exalting what the Word says. You're just declaring what God says. You're just getting in agreement with the Word of God. And when you get in agreement with the Word of God, you're a follower of God. And if you're following God, he's going to lead you to triumph. He's going to lead you in the victory. Can you say amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God forever. Come on, let's stand on our feet. Let's thank the Lord for the Word. Thank God for the truth. You know, Jesus said, you know the truth, and the truth of what? Set you free. Set you free. Set you free. He didn't say, you'll hear the truth, it'll set you free. Well, I heard something. I think it was the truth. No, he said, you'll know the truth. So you can't just hear it, you got to know it. So if you heard something tonight that is good to know, then make sure you know it. Because if you know it, you'll be free. You'll be free. You'll be free. And you'll live a supernatural life. And you'll walk in victory. Glory be to God. I like that. I just like that. I just like victory. I just like the idea of living a supernatural life. I don't want to be a victim in life. A lot of folks, they're struggling. They're struggling with temptation. They're struggling with all kinds of symptoms. They're struggling with all kinds of problems. And it's because they're seeing themselves as victim to these things. They see themselves as victims. You need to speak to these things. Whatever the thing might be, you need to speak to the thing. You need to tell the thing that's trying to dominate your life, that's trying to control your life. I got dominion over you. I got authority over you in the name of Jesus. Because behind those things are evil spirits. When people get bound by addiction, people get bound by lust, people are being controlled by bad habits, people can't control their thought life, they can't control their actions, that's demonic. I said, that's the devil intimidating you. That's the devil controlling your life. You have to speak up. You have to speak up, and you got to remind the devil what's true about you. That you're above that. I'm better than that. Devil tries to flash some kind of temptation in front of you. What do you need to say? I'm better than that. I'm better than that. I'm above that. I'm a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to sin. I am a child of God. Right? Not only that, I am a ruler with God. That's who you are. That's who you are. God's trying to wash our minds, clean us up. You know, you think about how bad it is in the world. People go to school and they're taught that they evolved from sea scum. And their great-great ancestors were a pack of hyenas. You know, we all evolved from the same goo. We're no different from those that are in the zoo. Right? I mean, that's what they're telling us. Man, that is the devil. I said, that is the devil. Trying to beat you down, tell you're nothing, and you'll never amount to anything. This is who you are. Don't expect to go too high. Listen, we're going to keep going up, up, up. We're going to excel. We're going to do better and better and better. We're going to prosper. We're going to expand. We're going to increase. We're not going to be intimidated. We're not going to wait around for permission. We're not going to wait for people to give us permission, because we already got permission from God to increase and live a blessed, prosperous, overflowing, abundant life. Amen? Circumstances will follow me. I am not following. Circumstances are not to dictate your future. You need to dictate. You need to let the Word of God dictate your future. I know where I'm going. I love Jesus. What did he say? He said, I know where I've come from, and I know where I'm going. Hallelujah. He looked at the religious people and said, you don't know where you've come from, and you don't know where you're going. But I know where I come from, and I know where I'm going. The world's confused. We ought not be like them. We came from God. We didn't come from the goo. We came from God, and we know where we're going. We know where we're going to triumph. That's where we're going. We're going on with God. Can you say amen? Amen? Hallelujah. Come on, let's lift our hands. Let's thank God. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you for the victory. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for causing us to triumph, causing us to win at every turn in life. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Now, you know, some people, they've been so beaten down and they've so beat themselves down that these things are hard to lay hold of. I remember when I was ministering down in Fort Knox in the correctional facility they had down there. For a couple of years, I'd go in there and minister. And I was amazed. You know, I'd preach the gospel of victory, you know, talk about victory. And a lot of these guys, they weren't interested in that. They liked it when other ministers came in and told them what dirty sinners they are and told them that, you know, you're just old sinners. They liked that. They'd come down to the altar and then they would, oh, God, forgive me, forgive me, forgive me. And then get up and they could still be an old sinner. No transformation. No transformation. See, they enjoyed just that self-pity and whining to God about it and showing remorse for being a sinner. But, you know, God, I can't do anything about it, so, you know, I'm going to go now and watch my dirty movie. And nothing changes. Nothing changes. And I was stunned how many people liked that. They were so used to living the life of a criminal, living in the pig slop, that it had become normal to them. And they didn't care to hear the gospel, the truth about what God has done for them. Let that not be any one of us. Let that not be any one of us. This life is a vapor. It is short. We don't want to miss God's best. God wants to raise you up and he will do it. No, you can't do it on your own, but he will lift you up. He will exalt you. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and he will exalt you. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Somebody shout, I am
going up.
I don't care how long
I've been here.
I'm going higher.
This is my time
to go higher
in God.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Praise God.
That concludes this message. For more information about Life of Faith Bible Church or Stephen Fraser Ministries, go to our website at lofbc.org. While you're there, be sure to check out the many other teaching series and books by Stephen Fraser. That website again is lofbc.org. And you can always call 888-542-2555. We trust today's message has encouraged your faith and strengthened your spirit to live the victorious life. And until next time, remember, we always triumph and we always win.